Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. Just want to look at one verse tonight, if God will be our help. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Paul says this. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I want to preach tonight for a little bit, if God will be my help, on this talk, individual responsibility. Amen? Individual responsibility. As we looked at this, we told you we was going to try to use Wednesday nights and look at some things that we need to be doing as a church, as God's people, in these last days that we live, that we, the church, might bring glory to God's name. Amen. Might lift it up. And we see this as Paul's talking here, and he's talking to brethren. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, in order to get the context of this, you have to kind of look at chapter 9 also and see that he was talking and he's trying to encourage the Jews that they would be saved. He says in Romans 9 and verse 25, he said, "As he saith unto Joseph, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Amen. Ain't you glad God made room? Praise the Lord. Isaiah saith also Christ concerning Israel, "Though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." See, God knew that they wouldn't all get in. God knew they wouldn't all heed to the calling of God Almighty. They wouldn't all listen to Jehovah God and go the way that He'd have them to go. You know what happens when you don't listen to Jehovah God and the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? You go the way that you don't need to go. You go to opposite direction from God. We get away from Him. We transgress against Him. Praise God, which is a bad thing. Praise the Lord. Listen, we need to be drawing nigh unto the Lord. Praise God while we can. Amen. Need to be encouraging others to draw nigh also. He says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah, as I said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would be as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. But what shall we say then?" Now watch this. "That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even to righteousness which is of faith." Amen. Where does righteousness come in? Righteousness comes through faith. Amen. Hello. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Righteousness comes through faith. Now, that's what it says, verse number 31. It says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it, not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So he said, there's a stumbling stone, and because of the stumbling stone, praise God, which was Jesus Christ the Savior, he supersedes the law for righteousness. He is righteousness. He's the very essential of righteousness. He's the essence of righteousness. He's the developer of righteousness. He's the liver of righteousness. He's the God of righteousness. He's the loving God of righteousness. He's the keeping of our soul in righteousness. God of heaven, praise God. I'm glad for that tonight, ain't you? Because of the rightness of him, praise God, we can see what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about an individual desire to see his brethren saved. Paul was talking about desire to see the Jews, his brothers and sisters, come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. He's saying to them here, he said his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul had a burden in his heart for his people. I wonder how long it's been since we've truly had a burden in our heart for our people. people. You say, well, preacher, I know they need to be saved. Yeah, but has it become a burden in your heart for your people? When it becomes a burden in our heart for our people, our soul's desire for our people, something will begin to change in our life. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we love, the way we walk, praise God, will be changed into the likeness of a holy and righteous God in righteousness for Him's name's sake. All this begins tonight, praise God, in becoming a born-again believer. Amen. Attaining to the promise of God. Becoming a born-again believer. See, all that starts at ground level. You know where ground level is tonight? Ground level is in the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ that all the ground is level. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. It's a place where the gospel is realized in the hearts and the minds of old sinners. They realize through the gospel. It takes the gospel, praise God, to get them to realize that they're lost sinners. Amen. Did you hear what I said? It takes the gospel to get old sinners to realize that they are old sinners. Amen. Praise God. The old sinners. Well, preacher, they may not be old. Yeah, but we've all been at it for a while. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, it comes natural. Talking to George and them, they come up last weekend is talking about little Allie, and they said now that when they start to dress her or change her diaper, she starts to kick and squirm and try to get away from them. I said, you know what that is? That's the first stages of rebellion. Amen? He said, well, what do you do? I said, well, you got to make her sense. You got to make her understand that she's got to lay there because this has got to happen. That's when we become an authority, praise God. We become their authority. That's where we become mommies and daddies, praise God. Amen? Where little ones don't dictate to us, praise God, because the Word of God, we bring them up the way they should go, so when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So they'll have a place to go to. He said, my mom, my daddy, they did it this way because it pleased God, and I'm going to do it this way because it pleased God. Now listen, there's a whole lot of us today. You may say, well, preacher, just don't seem like it worked good at my house. If you follow those basic principles, praise God, as the authority and loving parent over your children, glory, hallelujah, one day they'll come to themselves like that old prodigal down the hog pit. They'll throw down the pail. They'll jump around and they'll realize they don't have to go to hell, and they'll come to where they can get the touch of God. Statistics tell us today, and I'm going somewhere in a minute, but let me just run this rabbit. Statistics say today that when people get up to a certain age, that they're brought up in a fundamental Bible-believing church like this, where people love the Lord and worship Him in spirit and truth, and when they come to a certain age, they're flocking back to the old-time way. Amen. They get out there and they try all the everything else, and it doesn't satisfy their soul. It doesn't give them the peace within that they're looking for. And they start looking for something. They start looking for that love and the peace and the hope that they had in a little backwood church somewhere where some people come together and they loved each other in spirit and truth. And the gospel, Brother Kevin, was preached, and the Lord Jesus Christ had good news, praise God, from another country. Amen. And they start flocking back. Amen. You say, what are you saying, pastors? I'm looking for them to start coming back. I'm looking for them to start getting in. So they're not finding the world. So they realize the gospel, and they're old lost sinners. They realize they need to confess those sins. Amen. We're living a day in the world that's not popular preaching no more. You know, just come in and put your name on the card. Just sign a little wafer, whatever you need to do. I won't say, praise God, it still takes old-timey repentance. It still takes falling on your face and asking God to forgive you, a sinner, when He recognized you a sinner. But what's wrong today is we're not preaching, we're not teaching, we're not instructing, praise God, so that they can be an individual responsibility. Amen. Or to be an individual responsibility today for the people of God. So that they can confess their sin. So they can put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Amen. You don't get saved by putting your name on a card. And let me just say this. You don't get saved by being baptized in the water hole. You'd be baptized, Brother Bill, in the water hole. Every tide pulled in, the water hole knows your name, praise God, and it won't save you. Man, it takes Holy Ghost conviction to show you that you're an old lost sinner and you have to fall on your face before a thrice holy God and just submit unto Him and say, Lord, forgive me that old sinner. Amen. Individual responsibility. Confession of sin. Putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. The regenerating power of God. As Robert was singing that song, praise God, it's that reaching up and taking hold of God's hand. Amen. Allowing God to lead you through this old world, praise God, and show you the right way. Amen. Regeneration does that. That renewing of the inward man. The inward man is rotten. You say, now, preacher, I wish you wouldn't say that because I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, you are pretty good, but you're not good enough. Amen. There's a lot of rotten in us pretty good people. We all pretty good people. Amen. But there's rotten spots in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't get the rotten spot out, it'll decay the whole thing. Amen. The worms and the putrefying and the stench will begin to come out on you. If you don't get God's regenerating power in you. Amen. Praise God, I see so many, there's a whole lot of stinking Christians in the world today. Hello? Amen. Oh, me. That live and profess the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, and they live like the devil. Amen. Praise God. I believe Robert's singing today. Praise God. I believe something changes in you when you get born again. Amen. Regenerated, born again, becoming a child of God. Ain't that the whole purpose? Is that not God's plan for you and I?
Amen.
Amen. To become His children. Those that was alienated and isolated from Him. Those that were at enmity with God. He has come through Jesus Christ to reconcile unto Himself. Praise God. To buy us out of that old hell hole we're living in. To buy us out of that pit of sin that was dragging us deeper and deeper. And to bring us up out of the muck and the mire that was in that old pit that we was bogged down in. To lift us up out of it. To bring us up and to bring us out. Put our feet upon a solid foundation. Amen. You say, preacher, why would we want to do that? Why? What's the necessity of doing that? So that they can come up, be born again, regenerated, praise God, and become children of God and become soul winners. Amen. Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Praise God. You ever thought, you know, I wish I was just a little bit smarter. You know how to be smarter? Go start winning souls for Jesus. So he that winneth souls is wise. You know what? I'm beginning to wonder if in the churches today, if they ain't just a whole lot of dummies. Amen? A whole lot of dummies. We're just not smart. We're not doing what God put us here to do, is to win souls, praise God. You say, how do you do it? By the profession of our faith. Amen? Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we win souls. That's how souls are won, praise God, when we start professing our faith. Oh, I know they're begotten by the Word. They're begotten by the Word of God. They're begotten by the preaching of the Word of God. But praise God, once they're gotten, once they got a hold of, praise God, there ought to be something in them that'll go with them. Amen? So that they can become souls. They ought to have a profession of their faith. They ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I said the other day, man, we're not supposed to be ashamed of Him. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of Him. Because Jesus said, if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. Amen. I don't ever want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Amen. As little as I am, praise God, I want Jesus to be proud of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, he says this, Jesus says this. He said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Praise God. He said, hey, listen, I'm not going to be ashamed of him because I don't want him to be ashamed of me. Praise His name. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 38, The Bible says this, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, Jesus speaking, and of my words in this adulterous, now he adds to here, now he brings it right down to where we're living today. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Amen. So the Lord says we don't need to be ashamed of him. Praise God. He said we just need to get in, praise God, and become part of what God has for us. To begin to make a difference. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm saying that what we do, become soul winners, we need to enlist in the army of God to fight for souls. Amen? To list in this, in army to, praise God, and to serve. Where, you say, preacher, where do you serve? You serve in your local congregation. Hello? Amen? That's like a boot camp for the children of God. It's where we come together, we sit down together, and we study together, we learn together, praise God, and we prepare together so that we can go out into highways and the hedges like we preach on and compel them to come in. God wants his house to be full of believers. Amen. Born again, believers, praising God. Say, what do we do? Praise God. We bring them in that they and so that they can become soul winners too. See, we ought to be trying our best to bring up soul winners. To encourage all the folks coming in, praise God. Where we messed up. We've got them in and got them saved. And we just assume they're just going to press on in the right direction. But that's all they're doing is holding the road because we're not giving them the direction that they need to go. We need to have a direction to go. We're not supposed to get saved, get in, put our name on the roll, praise God, and just sit and take up 16 to 18, 20 inches on a pew. Amen. We're supposed to be, as Jesus said, about the Father's business. Lifted up the name of the Lord, praise God. So we bring the bringing of the gospel to the people brings the people to the gospel. So we begin to see souls saved. Amen? We see them saved, praise God. We see them come in and they unite with a good Bible-believing church. We ought to be encouraging them to be part of it where they come together. Hey, it's hard to chase them down out here in the world and get the gospel to them. That's why the Bible says that we're not to fail to assemble ourselves together as a custom son is, praise God. He said we ought to be gathering together so we can get fully persuaded in what we need to do for Jesus in these days that we live. He said especially when we start seeing the days approaching like they are today. Amen. When things has gone off the rail. When people's got crazy. Amen? So we need to see them saved. We need to see them brought into a Bible-believing church. We need to see them baptized. Amen? I don't even know if we've been doing that right. So when somebody gets saved, praise God, they ought to have a desire to get baptized. Say, you know what? I just want to go ahead and go with Jesus. I don't think we encourage that like we should. Amen? Woe to me. As a pastor, I don't think I've encouraged that like I should. I said, well, pastor, I want to wait spring. Well, okay, that's all. No! Praise God, you've been saved, born again. Amen. You need to get baptized and just go ahead and get in and go with God. Don't put it off to tomorrow, next week, or next month, or next year. Praise God, get in and start today. Let them see, praise God, the urgency to get in and proclaim the gospel. Praise God. Don't let it get stale. Don't let it get cold. Get in there and sell out for Jesus right out of the gate. Become soul winners for Christ. Amen? Praise God. Why? Because of compassion in your heart. You want to see others saved. Praise the Lord. Seek to see souls saved. Because compassion heart. Paul had compassion in his heart. That's why he wanted to see souls saved. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. Paul says this. Well, let's just go back to verse 19. It'll make it better. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Now watch this. I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means, now watch this, save some. Amen. Paul said, you know what I did? He said, I had to go in the highways and the hedges, and I had to compel them to come in. He said, I had to do whatever it took. Praise God. Not stepping outside of the law of God, not stepping outside of the grace of God, but praise God, doing everything I could to every man, woman, boy, girl I could to see them saved. He said, I became whatever I needed to be. He said, you know what he says? He said, I had compassion on them. He said, I befriended them. Amen. He said, I didn't go down to the bar and drink with them. Amen. He said, I didn't partake in their sins. I said, praise God, I was a friend to them. I pointed them to Jesus. I told them about the love of God so that they might be saved, so that some of them would have an opportunity to get in. So what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about an individual responsibility to see souls saved, a burden for souls. Realize that if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell, lost without God. To an awful, awful pit of hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell, do you? I want to see them, everyone, saved. Paul said, preaching them the gospel. Preaching them the trust of Christ Jesus as their Savior, praise God. So that they could have a change of heart. So that they could be made into a child of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That should be our... Listen, church, that is the business of every Christian today. Amen. It's to be a soul winner. Everyone. It's not Pastor Jeff's responsibility alone. It's not the teacher, Sunday school teachers alone. Amen. It's not the lay members alone. But praise God, it's every one of our responsibilities to go in the highways and the hedges and be compelling them to come in. To sharing the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, so that everyone might be saved. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what the whole purpose of the Word of God is. Individual responsibility that you and I have. Amen? Look at the book of John. Let me just give you some examples in the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 1. I'll go through these right quickly. And you can see for yourself. Bible says in John chapter number 1 and verse 35. Now this is John the Baptist. He said, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. John's responsibility, his personal responsibility, his individual responsibility was preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His individual responsibility, Brother Jeff, was to point people to Jesus. Amen. And on this day, praise God, he was standing there, he was preaching, and he saw Jesus coming down the road, and when he crossed the hill, he said this, he said, he looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Praise God. Individual responsibility John Baptist had, he said, look, there's the man I'm telling you about. He said, that's Jesus the Christ, the Messiah of God. Amen. Bible said two of his disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Hey, wow, it worked. Amen. Praise God. So one man's individual responsibility, the next thing you know, two men are following Jesus. Ain't that the way it's supposed to be? Amen. One man can send two men. So Jesus turned and saw them follow and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What does Andrew do? He just hangs out there with the Lord 3 or 4 days? No. Listen to what he does. He first findeth his, he said he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him. Now watch this. He said he first findeth. Now watch. He first findeth his own brother. Now that tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us here, praise God, that that wasn't all that was on his heart. Amen. That he, because he had seen Jesus, because he had recognized Jesus, because he knew who the Messiah was, praise God, said he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Amen. He said, Andrew, first he goes and he finds you. He hunts real quick. He's looking around. I can see him just frantic. He said, well, have you seen Peter? Where's Peter? He said, what's it about? I'll tell you. I'll come back and tell you in a minute. I've got to get to Peter. I've got to find Peter. There's something I got to tell him. Amen. And he pushes through the crowd. He gets to where he finds Peter. He says, hey, Peter, guess what? We found him. The one that we've been looking for, praise God. Could you imagine if we was excited as that about the finding Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin? We ought to be. Amen. Amen. He saved us, praise God. He is the Christ. And look what it says, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. See, that's what we ought to be doing, children. We ought to be bringing people to Jesus. Encouraging them to come to the Savior. To where he is. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael. And said unto him, we have found him. Amen. Praise God. Of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Nathanael. Praise God. Philip runs and finds Nathanael. And he said, hey, we found him. We found him. Excitement. Because Jesus said, follow me. And guess what? Philip followed him. Amen. Nothing. No questions asked. Praise God. Amen. Nathanael, verse 46, said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? This is what Philip says to him. He said, Philip saith unto him, come and see. Amen. He said, pray God. Listen, he said, Nathanael, he said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, I can't even tell you how wonderful it is. I can't even tell you the marvelous things that this man Jesus has done. He said, you've got to come see for yourself. Amen. What does he do? The Bible tells us that Nathanael went and seen Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him. He says, behold, an Israelite indeed whom is no guile. Amen. No sarcasm, bro. Praise God. But the funny thing was, he just said, hey. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, that little hole in the wall place up there, I mean, isn't Jerusalem, isn't everything else a whole lot bigger than that? He said, you just got to come see this man. Come see this man Jesus. Praise God. Jesus said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Then he gives them that ladder, praise God. He said, I'm going to show you a ladder. And the Holy Ghost of God is going to be a climbing up and down that ladder, praise the Lord. He said, while I'm here with you, you're going to see God Almighty ascend down. And you're going to see God Almighty ascend up. And you're going to see God Almighty ascend down. And you're going to see God Almighty condescending down the man, praise God. He said, you're going to see it, praise the Lord. Nathanael went, I wonder how many people he told. He said, it's an individual responsibility. But let me just say this tonight. Jesus Christ took on an individual responsibility. You remember in John chapter number 3, I got to reading these last Thursday or Friday, I about had me a spell. Jesus got to, in John chapter 3, said there was a ruler of the Jews come to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. Amen. And he began to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus began to talk to him. And I believe, praise God, that the Lord Jesus Christ led Nicodemus to be saved. Amen. He said, Rabbi, Nicodemus, verse number two. He said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. What did he do? Jesus, praise God, individual responsibility. He preached him the gospel of himself. The Word and the Spirit, praise God, unto salvation of his soul. Praise His holy name. Jesus did that. Are we better than our Savior? Amen. Not only did Jesus preach to Nicodemus, but remember that Jesus at the well Sychar in Samaria. Jesus says, what did He tell the disciples? He says, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. Oh, half-breed curs. But Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. He goes up there to the well of Sychar, and he's there at that well of Sychar, and he's waiting. The disciples go to buy meat. They go buy and get some food. You know the story. Praise God. And while they're gone, Jesus is sitting on the edge of the well, and here comes this woman in the middle of the day to draw water from the well. Amen. And he asked her to give him a drink. He said, give me to drink, verse 7. His disciples gone. He said, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. Amen. She tells him, she said, paraphrasing to save time, she said, he said, the well's deep and you don't have nothing to draw with. He said, from whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. And she said, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And he said, Hey, go and call thy husband and come hither. Holy Ghost conviction set in. Amen. And she had a woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. She said, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our father worship in this mountain. He said, And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, A woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is that true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and he that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that a Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. They talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now watch this. Now Jesus come to the well, Sychar, and praise God to share the gospel with this woman at the well. Amen. Individual responsibility to tell this woman the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, now watch this, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Praise God. What happened? God Almighty moved in her heart, saved her by His marvelous grace. Praise God. And she went to town and she began to holler out at all those men that she had shacked up with and laid with. She said, glory to God. Hey, something happened in my heart. Praise God. These living waters flowed up. I don't need that old worldly water pot no more. I've got a well of water flowing in my soul. I know what He was talking about. Amen. What happened? A personal responsibility, individual responsibility set in on her heart. And she went back to town, went there to Samaria, and began to broadcast aloud to everyone there the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that He has. He said, come see a man. He said, then they, verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto Him. Of course, in the meantime, His disciples come back. And they ask Him, you know, I figured He'd already eaten. But then the Bible says in verse 39, now watch, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying that the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Amen. What'd she have? A testimony. Amen. Of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Savior. You say, what are you saying, Pastor Jeff? It was an individual testimony that she had that brought people to Christ. And it's going to be an individual testimony, praise God. An individual responsibility we have to share the gospel with others that they might be saved. Amen. That's the burden of church. Amen. Praise God. It's the object of the church to become a soul-winning church. A soul-winning place. A place where we, as individuals, win souls for Christ. Amen. Give them our testimony. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole church moves forward. Amen. With the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. We're all in this together. Individually together. And it's our responsibility as individuals together to move the program of God in gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. So that the whole congregation don't fail. Amen? I believe a lot of congregations are failing today because we're not meeting the criteria of having an individual responsibility to tell people about Christ. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I'd make them mad. So what? They'll get over it or be mad for a long time. Amen? But it's ought to be in our heart, pray God, to tell them with love that you love them and you want to see them saved. Amen? Hey, they might get mad. They might puff up. They might pout for a minute. But they'll get off and they'll get to thinking about that. And they'll realize, praise God, that you've done it out of love. Because you and I have an individual responsibility to tell people about the saving grace of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. That's what we do, praise God. That's what we should do. That's where we should be. That's where the church should be today. We're failing, ain't we, church? Amen. Oh, me. We're failing. But praise God, we can do better. Just with grace and the mercy of God and Holy Ghost boldness, let's just march out as warriors for Christ, as individuals. Amen. With the individual responsibility to tell as many people as we can about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Amen.